So, what's this grand idea of yours? How are we going to kill that thing?
I have no fucking clue. But we need them to train. It's our only choice. It took us a full day to find this set of stairs, and we're almost out of time. It's better to face the enemy you know than the one you don't.
We don't know this enemy. Wait, what are you doing?
I'd come to the first of the spray-painted signs pointing toward the encampment. I took the can of red paint they'd given me, and I sprayed completely over it, covering it up.
Did you see that, Imani's level?
I stood to see if I could still read it.
She was level 10, and that was partially because she'd been forced to kill all those people.
So? Are you saying if someone else comes, they might kill all the old people? Just to get experience? Oh, Carl, darling. Nobody is quite that evil. Are they?
I don't know. And I don't want to find out either.
But what if a big group of good guys comes through, and they miss it because you covered it up?
Look where we are, Donut. We were lucky to find these people. There aren't any big groups of good guys, not in these parts. It's only sharks and minnows. Now come on. Let's find that Taco Bell.
So, which one are we?
I didn't answer. I couldn't. Brandon said they'd put dozens of signs up all over the place. As we headed north, I either defaced or changed all the ones I could find. There was no way I'd get to them all, but it made me feel better. I was busy changing a sign from saying 2 blocks south to 12 blocks south when Donut lifted her head.
2 more rats around the corner.
Their dots appeared. Your sense of smell is getting better.
No, I think the rats are getting stinkier.
We'd killed at least 30 rats between here and the encampment. These rats were bigger and fatter than the ones we'd fought earlier. They were all level 3. Before we'd left, I'd quietly asked Brandon if they'd looted the corpses of the folks who'd been killed right when they'd entered the dungeon. He'd been horrified at first until I explained that I needed pants and shoes. He'd given me directions. They'd looted the extra wheelchairs, walkers, and canes, but they hadn't touched their clothes. It would have required them to physically remove them. The thought made me ill. It also gave me a new burst of hatred for Frank Q and Maggie Mai, who had stripped the body of Rebecca W. They'd probably removed the clothes of the other ones they'd killed, too. When we got to where the elderly folks had died, all that was left was piles of bones and shredded clothes. Nothing usable. I picked up the gnawed remains of a slipper, tossing it down with disgust. The rats had devoured everything else, tearing through the corpses like a hurricane. And now the rats in the area were bigger. Our next stop was a nearby training guild. Thanks to the boss being a higher level than expected, we both hit level 9. The wide expanse of experience needed to hit level 10 spread before us. We also both had piles of loot boxes to open.
3 stars, I see.
Mordecai paused, his eyes going glossy for a moment.
Oh, whoa! You took out a level 9 boss on your own? Most impressive.
Yeah, it was a dumb idea. Not knowing what we're going to face really sucks. It's hard to prepare for fights when you're going in blind.
Let me examine the fight notes and I can tell you what you can improve upon. Okay, a couple things are clear. First off, brilliant move killing the goblin boss. Those guys are tough, but they aren't as hard as that thing you just fought. That's a new one to me. The juicer.
I think it was somebody from our world mixed up with one of those troglodytes. He wasn't as lucid as the hoarder lady had been. They'd done something to him to make him say all that dumb shit. The bosses are caricatures, exaggerated stereotypes. It's like they're being controlled by an AI, but their consciousness is still rattling around in there too. It's really bizarre.
It's what they do. Right now, across the universe, every eye is focused on Earth. Programs about your culture are reaching all the corners of the galaxy. The bosses are a part of that. It's like this every season. Anyway, let's look at your performance. When you hit it with that heavy weight, you did the same amount of damage as you would have with your fist. You need to understand how powerful your bare-knuckle skill has become. It's just as good right now as any unenchanted weapon you may find. I understand it's not convenient sometimes, but I recommend sticking with the bare hand attack. Also, you wasted those confusing fog scrolls. Next time, have the party member with the highest intelligence read any scrolls if you can. Your intelligence of 3 made it so the fog only lasted 15 seconds. Princess Donut's intelligence level would have resulted in the fog lasting for 120 seconds per scroll.
Damn. Also, is that why she can't take potions so often? Because her constitution is low?
Yes, that shred attack of hers is very powerful, but it's useless until she gains more armor and more health. You're lucky she hadn't broken her neck. Picking a class or a race with a high base constitution will help, but not much. She'll need to load up on items that enhance it, and those tend to be less common.
I looked at Donut, who was hissing with rage at the piles of torches that kept appearing in front of her. She'd received yet another spell book in the bronze boss box, but she hadn't read it yet. Most everything else appeared to be the same old crap with a couple exceptions. She got a bracelet from a silver adventurer box she'd received for finally dealing melee damage. The bracelet added +2 to her dexterity stat, bringing it to 12. She equipped it, and it wrapped snugly around her front leg. She also received a dozen heal scrolls from a silver survivor's box. That one was awarded to her because she'd ended a boss battle with less than 5% of her health. The scrolls were good to have because there was no countdown between reading each one, and even better yet, we could use the scrolls on each other. She looked up at us.
I am already one of God's most perfect creatures, so I shan't be changing race when the opportunity arises. I was born a cat, and I will die a cat. In fact, I'm going to have to insist that Carl choose a cat race as well.
I am not going to change into a cat. In fact, I've been thinking about it, and I decided I'm going to stick with human.
All of this talk about future levels and choosing a race and class was a waste of time. None of that was going to matter if we didn't manage to make it past the first damn floor. Donut did her approximation of a shrug and glowed as she read the magical tome.
Did you at least read the description first?
What was it? Oh, that's a good one. Puddle Jumper.
What does it do?
She can teleport herself and up to 3 others to somewhere else that is within her line of sight. It will be especially useful if you come across rivers of lava or other impassable locations. Higher levels of the spell allow her to go further. If she manages to hit level 15 with the spell, it works almost as well as teleport, one of the most powerful, most important spells to have in this dungeon. It costs 20 mana to cast and has a 10-second delay and a 5-hour cooldown. It's not good as a combat spell with that long of a delay, but it's still great to have.
What we really need is the ability to heal each other better.
Yes, yes you do. There are a lot of methods out there. Those 12 heal scrolls are good, and I suspect you're about to get a few more. But for now, I would avoid letting Donut use her melee attacks unless it's absolutely necessary. Her strength stat is phenomenal for this floor, but it'll start to catch up to her later. She was at strength 18 during that fight. By way of comparison, the Juicer had a strength of 25. She's in the wrong body to properly utilize that stat for hand-to-hand combat. Plus, her health is simply too low. For now. And you, little one. Your dodge skill is level 4. Keep working on it. Once it hits 5, it'll be much easier for you.
Look, the real reason we're here is because we've only found one set of stairs down. But there's a problem.
Mordecai's eyes widened as I told him about the others and the burrow boss.
The solution is simple. Skip the boss and keep searching for another set of stairs. They're out there, and most aren't guarded.
We drove for a day straight before we found this one. I'm really worried this is our only chance. Do you know what type of monster that is? Do you have any tips?
If I did know what it was, I wouldn't be allowed to tell you. I have a very specific, rigorous set of rules I must follow, especially when it comes to bosses. Come back here after the fight, and I'll happily sit down with you and analyze the battle and tell you all the boss's stats. But if I tell you about the boss ahead of time, it's considered cheating. You don't want to be caught cheating. I can tell you that it's madness to face a burrow boss with only 6 crawlers.
Is there anything else you can tell me?
Tell me, What does that juicer boss have in common with that bad llama mob you fought earlier?
They're both drug addicts?
No, not that. How did you kill the llama?
I throat punched him, and it made his head melt off.
And the juicer? What attack do you suppose took him down?
It was a combination of several things, but probably when Donut bit his neck and tapped directly into his bloodstream.
That's exactly right. Most of these creatures have a weakness. The throat for the llamas, the high-pressure vein for the boss. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. The hoarder, for example. I can now tell you her weakness was the bugs coming out of her mouth. If you'd killed one before it had fully emerged, the next cockroach in line wouldn't be able to get out. It would have choked and killed her.
I never really thought of it that way.
Look for a vulnerability, and once you find it, exploit it. You haven't yet walked into a boss battle completely blind, like you say. There have been clues every time. There will always be clues. Look for them.
There will always be clues. What did we know about this burrow boss? I thought about that as I sat down and examined my new achievements in boxes. In addition to the boss box, it was mostly the standard stuff. My bare knuckle and other fighting skills all ticked up to 6, including my smush skill. My iron punch rose to 5. I received random achievements for riding the chopper for more than 5 hours, another for having killed more than 100 wandering monsters in the maze. I'd received a bronze survivor's box for having less than 10% health when the boss died. I received 5 more of the heal scrolls for that one, leaving us with 17 of them. Most of the other prizes were the standard bronze or silver adventurer boxes. Potions, bandages, biscuits. I did receive a random cowboy hat, which I tossed into my inventory. I also was awarded an interesting achievement.
New achievement! 2 chicks at the same time. You killed 2 mobs at once using only their own bodies against each other. On a brutality scale of Bambi to Martyrs, that is a solid 7. Reward? You've received a gold brawler box.
I also received another gold looter box for storing more than 10 tons worth of crap in my storage. The boss box contained a pile of ninja stars.
Enchanted Shuriken of Bloodlust, times 100. Small, low-damage throwing stars. These bad boys aren't anything special upon first glance. They're the same black stars you wannabe ninjas purchased at the knife shop and the swap meet when you were kids. The same throwing stars you drill into the drywall of your room until your mom caught you and took them away. And while these shuriken don't have the ability to turn you into a ninja, nor do they have the capacity to make your mom stop drinking, they are enchanted with a bloodlust enhancement. For every monster you damage with a shuriken from this set, the damage against that monster type rises by 8%.
When it says the damage increases by 8%, does it mean 8% from the original amount? Or 8% compounded? That's a big deal after a while.
I don't know. Hang on.
His eyes went glossy as he presumably entered some sort of tutorial guide-only help menu.
Good news. It's compounded. So each hit will be 8% higher than the previous amount. The bad news is, the stars are very fragile.
That sounded pretty awesome at first, but I suspected it wasn't that great of an enchantment. It'd take a long time to power them up. I'd have to do a ton of throwing to make them worthwhile. I only had 100 of them. I'd have to collect them back each time, and if they broke a lot, then I might only get one chance to really use them. The gold looter box contained yet another skill potion. It was once again a determined value skill tonic. I drank it, leveling the skill up to 2. I couldn't see a difference in the menu. I suspected I'd need 3 more before it became really useful. The brawler box contained the best item of the lot. After my shirt and cloak, it was easily the greatest loot I'd won so far in the dungeon. It was exactly the type of weapon I'd been hoping for.
Enchanted War Gauntlet of the Exalted Grull. Right-handed, +3 strength, in fist mode only. plus 1 dexterity, plus 2 skill levels to iron punch, plus 1 skill level to powerful strike, 2% chance to stun enemy upon a successful hit. Item is a wrist bracer that transforms into a spiked war gauntlet made of orcish steel when the hand is shaped into a fist or wields a hilted weapon for more than 2 seconds at a time. This item on its own does not negate the bare knuckle skill bonus. Warning! If you use this weapon to strike adherents of the war god Grull, you have a 1.5% chance to transfigure your target into the deity himself. Trust me on this, you don't want to do that. A bigger, redder warning. Remove this item before you jerk off.
Hey, Mordecai. I removed the chain and slipped the charcoal-colored bracer over my wrist. How can I tell if someone worships Grull?
Equine-class creatures worship him. So if it's a horse or a centaur or a tickbalong, then he might worship Grull. Creatures like that bad llama might also pray to him, but not until after the third floor. The biggest tell is that they smear blue makeup all over themselves and won't stop talking about wenches and dying gloriously in battle. And, just so you know, Grull isn't a real god. There are no real gods in this game.
Does that really make a difference?
Mordecai was suddenly solemn, and I didn't know why. He looked at me, intense.
You said you worry that some of these bosses and mobs are like you, here against their will. That's not always going to be the case, especially later in the lower levels. Remember that. There are no gods here. Just those who pay for the privilege.
Okay. I tried to make sense of what he was desperately attempting to tell me.
What the goodness is a tickbalong? It sounds like some sort of disease a sailor would get.
Do you know what a horse is?
Of course.
They're like that, but meaner.
I closed my fist. 2 seconds ticked by. I felt a haptic buzz all up my arm, and my hand turned into a spiked hunk of metal. I had to clench my fist really tight to make it work, which was good. The last thing I needed was this thing appearing when I didn't want it to. I examined the malevolent-looking gauntlet. There was nothing ornate about it. It was black, angular, with multiple gleaming spikes. A tool, nothing more. It felt heavy on my hand, but not too heavy. No more breaking fingers when I punched something. I felt the extra strength ripple through me. I released my fist, and the gauntlet vanished in a puff of smoke that smelled of burned hair. Awesome.